听力课堂，听 class.com。
Unit 13, About Yourself. Part 1, Getting Ready. A. The following words and phrases will appear in this unit. Listen carefully and study the definitions.
1. Grind to a halt. 2. Abdomen. 3. Coil up. 4. Dehydrate. 5. Contaminated food. 6. Bacteria. 7. Gobble up. 8. Reserve. 9. Lash.
B. You're going to hear several short dialogues. Pay attention to the numbers and body words in the phrases. Then guess the meaning of the phrases with body words.
Do you know how many teeth you've got?
How many teeth? Ooh. Ooh. 24? More?
Yes.
32?
Yes. Do you know how many bones there are in your body?
How many bones? Well, I'll take a guess.
153. 206.
How often did your heart beat?
98 times a minute.
No, 70 times a minute.
Do you know what the boss thinks you should do, Billy?
Just you keep your great nose out of this, Bob, will you?
Stephen Kent! I never, never want to see you in my life again!
Oh, no.
You really have put your foot in it, haven't you?
Dave, can you give me a hand, please?
What?
I said, can you give me a hand?
All right. I'm coming. No need to shout.
Are there any jobs going in your company, then, for an intelligent, hard-working young man like my son Julian?
No. I haven't heard of any at all recently.
Well, could you keep your ears open, just in case?
Have you heard about Maggie, then?
Maggie?
Maggie Thatcher?
No, Maggie Brown. She's in love again.
Oh, not again.
Who is this time?
With her boss. Head over heels in love with him, she is.
Have you ever lent any money to Mick?
Mick? I wouldn't lend him any if I were you.
Why not? Doesn't he pay it back?
No, never. He's up to his neck in debts.
She's a very good doctor. Never looks at her watch, never complains. Nothing's too much trouble for her.
I know, yeah. Not many like her about. She's all heart, really. All heart.
Part 2. The Digestive System and Diarrhea. A. You are going to hear a talk on the digestive system and diarrhea. While listening for the first time, add more keywords in the notes column. After the second listening, match column A with column B with the help of the notes.
Our body is made up of thousands of different parts. All these parts work together to keep us alive and to help us move around. The parts of the human body are like the parts of a very complicated machine. Like any other machine, however, if it is inexpertly cared for, overtaxed, or insufficiently used, it will become rusty, sluggish, or clogged, and parts of its mechanism may even grind to a halt. That is why it is so important to keep every part of the human machine healthy and properly cared for. To keep in good running order, the body requires the raw materials for growth and the replacement of tissues when necessary. Our bodies burn food like fuel to produce the energy we need.
B.
The human digestive system is a bit like a very long tube, but it's a lot more complex. It's several meters long, and most of it is carefully coiled up in our abdomen. It has several important jobs to do. First, it must digest or break down our food. Digestion starts the moment food enters our mouth. Then it continues as the food is squeezed along the gut by muscles in the wall of the intestine. As the food travels through the gut, natural chemicals called enzymes are added to it, which help break down the food. Then this digested food and water must be absorbed from the gut into our bloodstream so that it can be used by the body. Finally, the gut must carry away any waste products in the form of feces. Usually, our intestine does all these things very efficiently, but sometimes things can go wrong. Probably the most common gut symptoms are diarrhea and constipation. With diarrhea, the food and water travels too quickly through the intestine, often making the feces watery and making it necessary to open the bowels more frequently. There are lots of causes of diarrhea. Probably the commonest causes of diarrhea are contaminated food or water and infection caused by viruses or parasites. Many cases of diarrhea clear up within a few days without any special medicines. But the body loses a lot of fluid through diarrhea, so there is a very real risk of the body drying out or becoming dehydrated. Because of this risk of dehydration, the best treatment for diarrhea is simply to make sure you're drinking enough. Avoiding dehydration in this way can be a lifesaver.
B. Now try this. Listen to a more authentic version of the causes and treatment of diarrhea by a doctor. Complete the statements.
There are lots of different causes of diarrhea. There are infections that can happen, and this is food poisoning, if you like, where in your food you eat some sort of bacteria or organisms which infect you. Some foods can just irritate the gut and tend to give you diarrhea. Although they're not infected, it's just the food itself might irritate your system. Some people, if they get very nervous and stressed about something, find that they tend to get diarrhea. Something called the irritable bowel syndrome, where something goes wrong with the way the gut works, and people that suffer from this tend to get tummy pains, and they get sometimes diarrhea, sometimes constipation, all sorts of causes. Most attacks of diarrhea, particularly in adults, are not serious, and they clear up by themselves within 1 to 2 days. The most important thing is to drink lots of fluid, because if you have got diarrhea, you're obviously losing a lot of fluid. And so it's better really not to eat too much, not to worry about that, but to make sure you drink plenty of fluid. And ideally, this should have a little bit of salt and sugar in. You can get special rehydrating fluids, which are specially mixed. But if you want to make your own by adding just a teaspoonful of sugar and a pinch of salt, then it's obviously perfectly reasonable to do that.
Part 3. Immunity. A. The following words and phrases are used in a discussion on the immune system. Listen to the words and phrases first. Study the definitions carefully.
1. Germ. 2. Defense system. 3. Cell. 4. White blood cell. 5. Molecule. 6. Bone marrow. 7. Antibody. 8. Measles. 9. Polio. 10. Tuberculosis. 11. AIDS.
B. Now listen to the following discussion. While listening for the first time, add more keywords in the left-hand column. After the second listening, answer the questions.
The human body is constantly under attack from invading germs and infections. And the only reason we don't suffer from constant illness is our bodies have their own defense mechanism to fight off disease. This resistance to infection is called immunity. How does immunity work?
Well, the immune system is the body's own secret army which fights infection, and it consists of a whole range of troops, soldiers, their cells, and their molecules. Now, the headquarters of this army is really the blood. That's where it does most of its fighting. And sometimes it needs some reserve. And that comes from the bone marrow. That's where the immune cells are made.
So, there are many different kinds of cells, different kinds of molecules in the immune system. I guess the ones that we're probably more familiar with are white blood cells.
That's right. White blood cells form a major part of the body's defense. But there are also antibodies in their life, more proteins. They just lash onto the invaders. The white cells can sometimes actually gobble up invaders. The clever thing is that once the infection has attacked our body, the immune system seems to have a memory of the invader, so that the next time it sees the invader, it can attack very quickly.
There are some things which we're not naturally immune to, and that's where vaccination comes in, isn't it?
Exactly. Vaccination plays on the body's ability to remember infection. So what happens is that someone is given a version of an illness, for instance, measles, or polio, or tuberculosis, and the body thinks that it is actually being infected with that infection. And the next time it sees it, the body can respond very quickly. All the troops of its immune system can come into play.
Now, sometimes the immune system doesn't work very well, does it?
No. It's a remarkably complex system, and sometimes it can go wrong. Either it can be overactive, so it actually starts to attack our own body self, or it can be underactive sometimes, and we are more likely to be infected in that situation.
Are there any important illnesses which result from the immune system so that it's turning on our bodies themselves?
There are. One example would be a disease like multiple sclerosis, where the body's own immune system attacks the lining of nerves, which means that people's nerves don't work properly.
We're able to assist the body in its fight against the illness in many cases, but there are some diseases which we don't seem to be able to produce a vaccine for. AIDS is one of them. Why not?
The problem is, AIDS, which is caused by the HIV virus, attacks the human immune system, which means that our normal defenses aren't there to fight off that infection. The other problem with trying to produce a vaccine against HIV or AIDS is that the virus, HIV, can change itself so easily. That's very difficult to find a vaccine which can recognize all the different types of HIV. So one vaccine may be effective against one type of the virus, but it may absolutely be no good for another type.
See, now try this. Listen to a more authentic version of the discussion. Complete the diagram. Then put the number of each phrase below in the proper place.
The human body is constantly under attack from invading germs and infections. And the only reason we don't suffer from constant illness is that our bodies have their own defense mechanism to fight off disease. This resistance to infection is called immunity. And here with me to discuss how it works is Graham Easton. He's a family doctor and a member of the science unit here at the BBC World Service. Graham, how does immunity work?
Well, the immune system is the body's own secret army, if you like, which fights infection. And it consists of a whole range of troops, soldiers, their cells and their molecules. Now, the headquarters of this army is really the blood. That's where it does most of its fighting. But sometimes it needs some reserve, some backup, and that comes from the bone marrow, and that's where the immune cells' factories are.
So there are many different kinds of cells and different kinds of molecules tied up in the immune system. I guess the ones that we're probably most familiar with are white blood cells.
That's right, and white blood cells form a major part of the body's defence. But there are also antibodies, and they're like small proteins which actually latch onto the invaders. But as you say, the white cells can sometimes actually gobble up invaders. But the clever thing is that once an infection has attacked our body, the immune system seems to have a memory of the invader, so that the next time it sees the invader, it can attack very quickly.
The immune system in the human body fights invading disease. Immunity occurs because the immune system can remember the chemical makeup of invading germs and attack them very quickly.
There are some things which we are not naturally immune to, and that is where vaccination comes in, isn't it?
Exactly. Vaccination plays on the body's ability to remember an infection. So what happens is that someone is given a version of an illness, for instance measles or polio or tuberculosis, and the body thinks that it's actually been infected with that infection, and the next time it sees it, the body can respond very quickly, and all the troops of its immune system can come into play.
Vaccination can be used to protect the body against specific infections.
Now, sometimes the immune system doesn't work very well, does it?
No, it's a remarkably complex system. It's a very complicated system, and sometimes it can go wrong. Either it can be overactive, so it actually starts to attack our own body cells, or it can be underactive sometimes, and we're more likely to be infected in that situation.
Are there any important illnesses which result from the immune system sort of turning on our bodies themselves?
There are, and one example would be a disease like multiple sclerosis, where the body's own immune system, we think, attacks the lining of nerves, which means that people's nerves don't work properly.
We are able to assist the body in its fight against illness in many cases, but there are some diseases which we don't seem to be able to produce a vaccine for. AIDS is one of them. Why not?
Well, the problem with AIDS, which is caused by the HIV virus, is that HIV itself attacks the human immune system, which means that our normal defences aren't there to fight off that infection, or indeed many other sorts of infection. The other problem with trying to produce a vaccine against HIV or AIDS is that the virus, HIV, can change itself so easily that it's very difficult to find a vaccine which can recognise all the different types of HIV which there are. So one vaccine may be effective against one type of the virus, but it'd be absolutely no good for another type.
HIV is the virus that causes AIDS. HIV destroys the body's immune system and puts the body at greater risk from other common infections.
I was talking to Dr. Graham Easton of the Science Unit about immunity, the reason why he, I, and I hope you, are able to remain as healthy as we are.
Part 4. More about the topic, the circulatory system. The following short passage is about the circulatory system. Supply the missing words while listening.
All parts of our body must have nourishment and oxygen in order to function and grow, and their waste products must be removed before they accumulate and poison the body. The circulatory system distributes needed materials and removes unneeded ones. It is made up of the heart, blood vessels, and blood. The blood is also part of the body's defense system. It has antibodies and white blood cells that protect the body against foreign invaders. The heart is a muscle that is divided into two nearly identical halves. One half receives the blood from the lungs and sends it to the rest of the body. The other half sends blood that has traveled through the body back to the lungs. When the heart muscle contracts, the blood is forced out into arteries and enters small capillaries. Blood returns to the heart through veins. Materials enter and leave the blood across the thin walls of capillaries, which are located near every cell of the body. In almost every case, blood leaving a group of capillaries travels to the heart and then to the lungs for more oxygen before it returns to the capillaries. One exception is blood that has traveled through capillaries in the digestive system. The vein from this system, called the portal vein, carries blood directly to the liver, where nutrients are stored before the blood returns to the heart.
Part 5. Memory Test. Hair. Now listen to this radio phone-in. Complete the following chart.
All right. Thank you for that call, Rosemary. We go now, I think, to Glasgow and our next caller, Jim Bailey. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
Hello, Jim. What's your problem?
I'm beginning to lose my hair. I went to the doctor, but he just said there was nothing I can do about it. He said it was probably hereditary. My father was bald by the time he was 30.
Hello, Jim. And how old are you?
Me? I'm 28.
And are you losing a lot of hair, then?
Well, it comes out a lot when I comb my hair. And you can see a thin part on the top of my head.
And does that really worry you, Jim?
Well, I don't like it. It's old. You know, looks old. I don't want to look like a middle-aged man at 28. And I wondered if there was some special shampoo I should use. If you could tell me one that I should buy. Something like that. You know, to stop it getting worse.
Well, you know, Jim, to be honest with you, there's not really a lot you can do about it, actually, I'm afraid. I mean, baldness is one of those things that, in my experience, you just have to try to accept. Some men find it more difficult to accept baldness than others.
There's one piece of advice, though, Jim, and that's don't try to comb your hair over the bald or thin patch. Don't try to hide it. Whatever you do, don't comb it over, because that usually looks ridiculous. And the other thing that usually looks ridiculous is a man with a wig. Don't let anyone persuade you to buy one of those false hairpiece things, because they usually look much worse than the bald man. I actually think bald men can look very attractive. My husband's bald, and I think it really suits him.